Welcome to Sustainability Bridges, a URCIF podcast aimed at building bridges between policymakers, investors, academics, and civil society around the theme of sustainable investing. URCIF is the leading pan-European association promoting sustainable finance and sustainable investing at the European level. In this podcast, the Executive Director of URCIF will invite distinguished guests for a 30-minute conversation on current events shaping the sustainable investing community.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Victor Van Horn, and I'm the Executive Director of URCIF. For this episode, I'm honored and delighted to be joined by Clémence Humeau, Head of Responsible Investment Coordination and Governance at AXA Investment Managers. Together, we are going to discuss about new regulations, sustainable finance agenda, and what it actually means for practitioners who have to implement this. Good morning, Clémence, and thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Victor. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast today.
Great to have a conversation. I think, you know, we can agree there's a lot of developments ongoing the whole time in SFDR, so some moving pieces. But before we start on current events, I think it's good to take a step back, and I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on the main piece of regulation, the SFDR, which, you know, was intended to bring greater transparency to the sustainable investment product landscape. So now we've had it applying, and you and your colleagues have to deal with it. How do you think we've achieved the right balance here? Is it fit for purpose?
On our side, we really think that the Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regulation goes in the right direction by providing more transparency, by providing more comparability as well on financial products, which is a request and a concern we often hear from clients. Now, in the way the regulation was written, in terms of what we know from Level 1 and the various versions of the regulatory technical standard we have seen over time, we would say that the implementation is a little trickier in the short term due to lack of data in particular. So we are expected to report on several data points for Article 8 and Article 9 funds, and this data is still quite heterogeneous in terms of what is reported by issuers. So that's for sure a challenge we are facing and where we feel there is a real need to educate and to make sure that clients are aware of the difficulties we are facing. There is a form of disconnect between the way the regulation was built and intended. So as you said, a disclosure regime, and as it's actually clearly stated in the name of the regulation, and the way it's used by the market.
Looking at those, you know, this practice is something we've seen across Europe in different markets, this tendency to use this as a label. Is that because there is a demand in the market, because there's this demand for easily understandable labels at European level, do you think?
No, definitely. I think there is a clear demand from the market. We see it, so we are based in France, where we have had a local label regime for a few years already, which has been getting a lot of traction for the past 2 to 3 years. We observe the same trend in a few other European markets where we are active, so in Belgium, in Germany as well. But there are a number of other markets where there is not this labeling regime, which we feel, and this is really the message we have from our clients, well, we understand that there is a willingness from players to integrate ESG, to develop sustainable products. We are not completely sure of what there is in those products. So especially for retail clients, I think it's really for this type of audience, retail and wholesale, who don't have necessarily the level of sophistication of institutional clients. For them, having a sort of label and a stamp in terms of what they can and maybe what they won't find is definitely a reassurance they are looking for.
Okay, no, thanks for that. And you've indeed touched upon an interesting point right before about the use of data. It's interesting if you look at the different iterations of the technical standards over the last couple of months and guidance, there seems to be this tension between wanting to have some disclosures to clients with some data, assuming that they're not perfect, and this fear of wanting not to induce any greenwashing and therefore asking for, you know, only disclosure of pure and perfect data already, while we know that's not the case. How do you juggle that tension as a firm having to comply with this disclosure?
Well, we have to say that indeed when reading the guidance and the various iteration of the regulatory guidance on these data aspects, we feel sometimes maybe there is a lack of understanding of the challenges we are effectively facing on the ground in terms of, first of all, the quality of data reported by EU players. Just when we look at taxonomy data, for instance, it's really the very beginning when it comes to issuers reporting. It's only eligibility at this stage when we need to start to report also on alignment. For sure, this data is not perfect at this stage. So when we see the guidance telling us if the data is not robust enough, don't publish it. On our side, we manage a lot of product. So we obviously have to rely on data providers to help us implement the regulatory requirements. We perform a lot of sanity checks on the data, but we are not able to confirm and check for each issuer data is appropriate. When we look, there are various studies comparing data providers in terms of the taxonomy data, in terms of the SFDR, Principal Adverse Impact Indicators data. We see quite a lot of discrepancies. Our view is that it's normal at this stage. Those are data which are still very new. So we will see probably more homogeneity over time. But I guess it's normal when it's a framework which are just being enforced. So that's the first point, and it's only for EU issuers, for issuers and companies beyond the European Union, which are not subject to the taxonomy regulation and where we are not sure we will get the taxonomy data in the future. We need to also onboard this data if we want to have an information which is which makes some sense for our client. So we feel when reading the regulatory guidance that there is indeed probably a need to continue to inform our policymakers on the reality of the ground, on the reality of the product we are managing, the data we are actually getting. And probably I will come back again to the need to educate and to inform our clients what they will find in the reporting, and also on the limitation of data we will report at this stage.
Thanks for that. That's very, very interesting comments, which I think we hear from a lot of practitioners. I think it's a nice segue in the next topic I'd wanted to discuss, which is this education bit, because we see with, you know, another piece of regulation that is very important in this space is MiFID. The future will be about asking every investor coming in to buy your products, you know, what her or his sustainability preferences are. And it's articulated quite ambitiously around this concept of principal adverse impact indicators, the taxonomy, sustainable investing. How do you feel that your retail clients that you deal with, or even the financial advisors, are they ready for that? Because we are, as people following that closely, already struggling to make sense of it all. So I can only imagine people whose day job it isn't to follow all those developments will struggle.
But perhaps the first point on readiness, no, definitely from the discussion we have with a number of our clients, we feel they are far from being completely ready. So there's, of course, the taxonomy element of MiFID, which is probably, at least it's my opinion, given the coverage it has got in various media, and it's probably the framework which is the most known at least in terms of the objective and the high-level principle of it by I would say, a large public. Probably they don't have a view of all the technical aspects, but at least I guess they know what is the taxonomy and its purpose. We know that for this one, the expected level of alignment is extremely low. I think for the whole EU economy, we are around 2 or 3% of alignment. So including relatively low level of alignment for green products due to the fact that the taxonomy is still in the works. So that's the first element. On the one they know, probably there may be a disappointment in terms of the level of alignment of their product. So need to explain to indeed financial advisor so that they are able to convey and explain to their client ultimately. On the other two concepts, so the one being SFDR, sustainable investment, I think this one is even more complex because there's a definition in the regulation which is quite open to interpretation. We know that from one market player to another, there are different methodologies being deployed. There are some discussions in the market, a number of working groups, but still no alignment. I suppose we will observe, we will see alignment over time. But for a financial advisor, we will have to understand the methodology developed by one asset manager and then another asset manager because they are distributing different products and coming from different fund manufacturers. I guess it will be a key challenge for them and probably for end clients. Our feeling is that there may be a difficulty to understand why there are two different frameworks to assess sustainability. And on the last one, so the principal adverse impact consideration. So this one, I would say I have a slightly different view. So we have a set of principal adverse impact indicators, which is something slightly different from the concept in itself. But here, at least, we have indicators which are set in the regulation, which could probably be enhanced over time to have more forward-looking data or to have perhaps, especially on the social side, as usual, social is always a little lagging in terms of data quality. At least, there's some form of comparability. So this one, I would say, is probably the one on which I feel there's probably something easier to understand for advisor and clients. And so definitely we will, on our end, try to educate and provide materials to help our salespeople, to help the distributors we are working with to understand what we are doing so that they can guide their own clients.
No, that's very, very, very comprehensive indeed. But it's indeed what you say that strikes me is when you look at those sustainability preferences, essentially they're part of the broader system of financial advice, where as an asset manager, you are asked to assess the financial adequacy of products for your clients to make sure that the products are appropriate. You then finalize that test and identify those products. And then the way the regulation is written is that then you suddenly ask the client to express some theoretical sustainability preferences, which might or might not have any relations to the product that are actually suited for her or him. How do you navigate that challenge? Because that can be, you can get to quite theoretical discussions with your clients that are detached from the reality.
Yes, yeah, so on this, and it's still very early stage, I guess, but what we understand is that there are a number of proposals in the market to help, especially in the early stage of implementation, with some sort of matrix system, which would enable probably advisor to propose a form of mapping to clients, which will help them to understand, depending on the expression of the sustainability preference they will provide, where the financial advisor will be able to guide them. So probably yeah, some sort of, again, it's around having an educational tool, having some tools to bring a bit of simplicity and a bit of understanding in a quite a complex framework.
Yeah, no, it's good to hear that, because it's something we hear very often, is how are we going to bridge that gap between the two. It's maybe to jump back onto one point you mentioned earlier on this definition of sustainable investing. You put that in the SFDR regulation. It is one definition, but as you say, we've seen it deployed in very different ways by different market players, leading it to challenges on probably comparability that metric in the future. And obviously, I think, as you say, we need to find solutions to make sure that it is comparable. Maybe that's a question I have, is do you expect that will come via regulation, or is best practices from industry, or as we've seen in other cases before in this space, will it be a big role for data providers? Because they're quite big players as well. What, do you have any thoughts on that?
Perhaps I'll come back to what I said earlier. In our view, it does not necessarily make a lot of sense to have two different frameworks to assess sustainability. So to have the taxonomy on the one hand, and to have a form of a sustainable investment framework in SFDR. We understand why it's there, because the taxonomy is still in the works. There are still probably a few years of work at the EU level to ensure it's complete. It covers environmental aspects, but also maybe the social aspect as well, with this idea of the social taxonomy. So I guess the European policymakers needed to have something in between, because SFDR was to enter into force. In terms of actions needed, in our view, I think it's more around best practices. In terms of regulation, I guess we should rather focus on improving the taxonomy, making sure we finalize it. It's not easy. I guess we are seeing all the political intrication of such a framework. My impression, it may not be the right one, but if we try to work in parallel on two sustainability frameworks, maybe it will be to the detriment of the taxonomy progressing fast enough or properly enough. I guess we should focus on best practices, on having progressively a bit more alignment between market players. I think it will come actually largely from our own client. It's something we observed already to some extent with when we implemented the level one last year. So we all, I think, had our own approach to categorize products. We had lots of discussions with distributors, with actually also institutional clients, on the approach we had taken. Some of them telling us, it's not exactly the way we had understood it, and lots of exchanges, and it led us to review and do some adjustment on some aspects. And I guess it will be the same on SFDR sustainable investment, especially coming from, again, our distributors who have to face the definitions coming from the various fund manufacturers they are working with. So they have to live with this extra complexity. Quite sure they will come to us and tell us, well, look, this is what we are seeing elsewhere. What is your view on that? So I expect it will be probably more coming from a bottom-up rather than top-down. Maybe wrong, but that's our feeling on this. And probably in the shorter term, so for 2023, so the very beginning of the implementation, again, because there's limited consensus at this stage, and I guess even if there is some information sharing, we know that each company has preferred to keep leeway and flexibility. So I think what's essential, again, is around transparency and education, finding ways to be simple as well in the documents we will provide on our website, we will provide to our clients, so that they are able to compare.
That's interesting. And then again, I think it's the lesson we can draw from the last couple of years is things are developing. We don't exactly know how they're going to develop, and we have to see. But the market has to adjust and find its best practices to deal with the challenges. I think maybe a last question for today. And obviously, you know, when the biggest question policymakers ask us sometimes is, okay, you know, we had the plan to reorient capital flows. That was the part of the sustainable finance agenda. Now, looking at SFDR through that lens, do you see already that it's having an impact on investment approaches on your clients, or the particularly institutional clients, the way they look at sustainability? Do you really see change already in those approaches, or is everyone just still absorbing the regulation and it's too early to say?
First of all, perhaps just looking at our experience internally. So we had seen for the past probably 5 years, really a growing appetite from clients, probably some differences in the approaches developed by different market players. But on our side, as a French asset manager, we were already subject to a number of regulation in France, which came into force in 2015. So a lot about transparency already in terms of ESG approaches and climate strategies, which led us to already do a lot of work around transparency, information to our clients. We had also last year in 2021 a regulation which came into force exactly actually at the same time as the SFDR in France, with on that side actually quite clear rules. So it's focused on funds distributed to retail clients, but with a very specific requirement in terms of ESG approach to be able to communicate in central manner to clients. And so it's a regime to actually have proportionate approach in terms of marketing and communication, depending on the depth and the level of ESG integration. This has definitely accelerated a lot the level of discussions on ESG internally, meaning that we had already quite a number of people involved. But now it's the whole portfolio manager population, the sales teams as well. So in terms of the level of discussion and the passion in a way, or the views. So now everyone has a view. It's quite impressive actually, because the number of people who read, you know, with a lot of interest, the various Q&A and the various publication coming from the European Commission or the ESMA. Yeah, that's quite impressive, I would say, internally. So definitely lots of discussion, and just by having these discussions, just by spending, to be honest, hours and hours trying to come up with our framework to define what is a sustainable investment, and we are forcing them to challenge probably their approaches and to come up with a more homogeneous approach. So in that sense, even if it's complex, even if it's difficult to implement in the short term, definitely, I would say it's going in the right direction. And when it comes to external client and to the market, so again, heterogeneity in the way it's approached, probably some long discussion with a number of clients to explain what we are doing, how we are interpreting some of the aspects of the regulation. But it's also a discussion about sustainability. So in a way, in a perfect world, we would have loved to have the taxonomy, finished before SFDR came into force. We would have loved to have the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive already in place. If we could have decided on the order of the various regulations, definitely we wouldn't have done it in that same order. So we are doing as we can with what was decided by the European Commission. But definitely, for me, it's lots of discussion about sustainability, definitely going in the right direction. What we would just want to ensure is that as MIF and IDD evolve to better integrate sustainability preference, and as we implement the level 2 of SFDR at the beginning of next year, we really hope that we won't have a form of distrust. So we hope it won't happen next year. So for us, it's a lot about education, but you can you can propose content and you can try to educate, but in the end, you are not sure how it will be heard by the clients or how also supervisor will look at the topics. I would say if we see distrust next year, it may then mean that we get a slowdown in the way in the channeling of flows to a sustainable product, which would not help the transition to a more sustainable world. So for us, it's really a focus about how can we make sure it does not happen next year? How can we focus and work with policymakers and work with our peers? Because I think it's really a collective effort to ensure that the framework gets improved.
Well, thank you very much, Clémence, for that. And I think that's to end on a positive note. Indeed, that's the positive externality of SFDR. It triggered a lot of conversations that maybe wouldn't have happened that quickly everywhere. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning and for sharing your thoughts as a practitioner. And we hope it will be helpful also to the policymakers to hear that. But with that, without further ado, thank you very much. And I wish you and all our auditors a very good rest of the day and the week.
It brings us to the end of this insightful conversation and the end of today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Do not hesitate to like, follow and share this episode of Sustainability Bridges. Eurosif will continue in the next episode to bridge the gap between the policymaking and the practice of sustainable investing with the help of distinguished guests. In the meantime, please visit our website and follow us on social media to stay tuned. See you next time for a new episode of Sustainability Bridges.